What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? And welcome back to Bear With Me, a Chicago Bears podcast hosted by yours truly, Robert Schmitz, right here on the Windy City Gridiron Podcasting Network. And we're coming at you again live, me, EJ Snyder, Danny Meehan, and Jacob Infante, the whole draft war room, as the Chicago Bears, out of nowhere, have traded up to pick number 39, sending 52, 83, and one of the picks in the 200s, I think it was 204, 439, and 151 from the Carolina Panthers to select Oklahoma State's Tevin Jenkins, offensive tackle that, should he be able to stay healthy, should slot right in at right tackle. But I wanted to ask you guys, because Tevin Jenkins was the guy that Bears fans were agog over mocking to Chicago at 20. My head says, why in the world did Pace trade almost the whole rest of the war chest when the Bears could use defensive back depth? They needed I would have loved to see a slot weapon, and they got a guy who, I mean, by all reports, I think I'm talking to the right room here, is super easy to love at right tackle. So given the two sides of love the player, but did we get him the right way? What do you guys think? We'll start with you, EJ.
It's important to separate the two, and it's not unlike the Cole Kmet situation. When Ryan Pace took Cole Kmet, I said, look, Cole Kmet is a fine player. What I'm going to say has nothing to do with Kmet. It has to do with positional value and where they took him. And Tevin Jenkins is the same. I love the player. I was just on the live stream and people said, aren't you happy? And I said, for Tevin Jenkins in the Bears offense, 10 out of 10. I've been saying for 4 months, pounding the table, that he would be an ideal right tackle in the Bears offense, and nothing about that changed. He is still going to be that guy, but you have to look at how Pace got him and what the opportunity cost is. They were at 52. They move up to 39. Would Jenkins have been gone by 52? Most likely he would have, but only four tackles went in the first round. That's a lot less than expected. And Jenkins is the first tackle to go off the board in the second. So that means only five tackles off the board at 39. You probably could have hung on to 52 and got a similar player. Now, obviously the Bears were enamored with Tevin Jenkins and okay with his injury profile. He's had a hip injury that some teams are worried about. Bears would probably check that out if they're going to go up to 39 and get him. They feel comfortable. So it's really about the opportunity cost of turning 82 into a 150s pick when you have multiple needs. That part I don't love as much. So if I'm grading Jenkins the player, it's 10 out of 10. He's a great fit for the Bears offense, and he's going to be a fan favorite. If I'm grading the process or the cost, I'm probably 6 out of 10. I'm not pissed about it, but I don't think it's great process. And I think you could have done almost as well and saved the picks.
I think it's a little bit hilarious. And yes, I mean, like, comically funny that Chicago Bears GM Ryan Pace basically went up, got his guy, Justin Fields, A+. Everybody loves it. Great job. No position better to go up and get than a quarterback. And he kind of did the exact same thing here with a guy who could become a franchise star at right tackle, which it's rare to find those guys. But based on everything I've seen, Jenkins plays with that kind of nasty that I'm sure Danny will be willing to talk about. We'll go to you next, Danny. But it is just kind of funny to see that, you know, you want to keep all your picks because you never know when you're going to get Eddie Jackson in the fourth, Darnell Mooney in the fifth, Jordan Howard, even useful players that are all up and down the draft order. And as Pace has now sent another three away and gotten two back, the Bears are slowly bleeding these picks. And while guys like Greg Gabriel can say that it's all about quality over quantity, sometimes quantity is helpful in the NFL draft because you just never know the guy you're going to find. Danny, I know Tevin Jenkins was a personal favorite of yours, so how are you feeling given the situation?
You kind of summed it up well with the nasty and then equating me to it, because I am one of the people that believes a mentality and how you play the game of football matters when you can, you know, physically impose your will on somebody. You know, Jenkins is that guy. He's going to physically impose his will on you, and he's going to let you know about it. He is my style of football player. But I kind of echo some of what EJ was getting at, where I know he's a good right tackle. I know he's got a nasty demeanor, and I know I've been on record as saying on the rule of three, which we do together, Robert, as saying the offensive line lacks some sort of pissed off demeanor. They're too soft in a sense. And there's nothing that makes them inherently better by drafting him. But at a certain point, the process has to make sense to get to the result. I agree with what EJ said. It's a 10 out of 10 fit. It's a 10 out of 10 player. I do trust, in a sense, the hip should be fine, given what we know about Pace and his medical records dating back all the way to the Illinois State wide receiver, who I'm now drawing a blank on, that they let go.
Are you thinking Meredith. Cameron Meredith?
Cameron Meredith.
That's and it ain't just Meredith. Honestly,
no, Pace no there's a couple nails. Of them. I'm saying just dating back, you know. Mm-hmm. But I just can't help but feel like I agree in a certain context that quality is greater than quantity, but you have an aging, expensive roster and holes to fill. And there's so many good tackles in this draft that you could have just sat back and wait. EJ said it best. You took the fifth one. You could have taken a guy like Stone Forsythe or Dylan Reduns or Walker Little, who I really like from Stanford, and just trade back and had more bites at the apple. Pace is one of the better drafters in the league when it comes to value picks and getting snaps from his young players, but he refuses to give himself multiple bites of the apple. The Bears draft, for all intents and purposes, might as well be done. It's over with. Like, you don't pick again until the fifth round. Like, again, the player 10 out of 10, I'm a little more upset with the process. So I'll probably give it like a 3 or a 4. I'm not upset. I'm not like mad about it, but I just think it's a little bit ludicrous to keep up this tradition of just going to get your guy. At a certain point, you need multiple picks and you need to fill the roster out with young, cost-controlled talent. And that's the part I keep struggling with under this regime.
Jacob, what are you thinking?
It sounds like I'm in the minority here. I'm 100% fine with trading up for Tevin Jenkins. That's just the way that I see him. I recognize that I'm higher on him than most. I see him as a legitimate bookend at the offensive tackle position. And keep in mind, yes, I know that I wrote an article on Windy City Gridiron explaining that the Bears, unless it's for a QB, should not make a significant move up and give up significant draft capital either this year or in the future, more than that. But with that in mind, I think Tevin Jenkins is better far and away than any other offensive tackle on this board. You're looking at Samuel Cosmi, I can make an argument for, but this isn't a running back that Ryan Pace is trading up in the third round for, like 2019. This isn't Ryan Pace moving up for an inline, well, not moving up, but selecting an inline tight end with your first overall pick back in 2020. This is an offensive tackle. This is a guy who's the nastiest blocker in this class, in my personal opinion. One of the most powerful guys in this class. And yes, it's a talented offensive tackle class, but with a position that's so important like offensive tackle, I feel like you kind of have to get your guy, because it has been so long since the Bears have properly invested in one of the most important positions in football. And now they're finally doing it. And yes, I admit trading a third round pick, maybe not ideal. And that'll leave you at a hole at another position. But say, look at the wide receiver position. You can still get a good guy in the fifth round. They were able to recoup that fifth round pick. And you saw what they did last year. They got Darnell Mooney out of that. It's a really deep wide receiver class. And Ryan Pace has proven that he can excel in those later rounds. Do I wish that they had picks in rounds 3 and 4? Absolutely. I'm a huge proponent of wanting to stack up on as many picks as possible, trade down over trade up. That's my personal philosophy. But the Bears made 2 trade ups over the past 2 days. One was for a franchise quarterback, and the other was for a franchise offensive tackle. The two most important positions along the offense, maybe even in football. You can make other arguments against offensive tackle, absolutely. But regardless, those are the two most important positions of the offensive side of the ball. Ryan Pace invested in premier talents, in value players. So I have no problem with this at all. Would it suck? Yeah, sure. You know, the Bears can't get, say, Amari Rodgers or whatever in the third round or something like that. But I'll tell you what, I think Tevin Jenkins is well worth that investment. That's just my opinion on it. But considering the lack of success the team has had at those two positions for such a long time, I'm 100% for Tevin Jenkins and the trade up, even though I recognize it is a steep price to pay.
And you know what, Jake, not to cut you off, Danny, no. But what I will say is I'm willing to play both sides here. There's some of this stuff, and I know you guys all feel the same way, especially anybody that's ever done a post-game show with me. Sometimes you get the news, you have to react to it immediately, and you go off of philosophy. So I hear Bears trade up. They sent 83 away. We got a really good player. And I think to myself, but that could have been two really good players. And you just never know. I mean, to be totally fair here, could Dylan Raddins, is it Raddins or Raddins? It doesn't matter for Bears fans, but the point is,
I've heard it said every way.
Liam Eichenberg, let's use that as a decent example. Would Liam Eichenberg have been a solid bookend at right tackle? Probably. But would he have been the plus run blocker that Tevin Jenkins, should he end up healthy, should be in Chicago? No way, because there's not a lot of guys in the NFL that block as ferociously on the ground as Jenkins does from everything that I've seen. And if you guys saw what I saw in week 18, as I've been calling it, that Saints playoff game, the Bears would get five linemen on four defensive linemen, and they wouldn't move at all. I mean, the Bears run blocking in particular, especially against tougher teams like even the Green Bay Packers, has been pretty abysmal. And so, O-line injuries did not help. Obviously, when you're not playing with Bobby Massey, that's not a good thing. But I can see what you mean, Jacob, that if the player hits, just like we said a little while ago, trading up for Anthony Miller, if the player hits, this can work. Yeah. It just kind of has to.
If I may chime in here, looking at some of the picks that have come up, and obviously
that's what Tevin, I was just going to bring up.
Yeah. Would that trade up for Tevin Jenkins have prompted this run on offensive tackles? Maybe. But since the Bears have traded up and selected Tevin Jenkins, Liam Eichenberg got selected by the Miami Dolphins. Jackson Carman just got selected by the Cincinnati Bengals. Walker Little just got selected to the Jacksonville Jaguars. There is a big run on offensive tackles. And yes, you could still, as of right now, get a Samuel Cosmi or a Dylan Raiden's. But again, we don't know exactly what the Bears' mentality is in terms of what they have, who they have, rather, ranked on their board and where. So they might not be high on Samuel Cosmi. If they're willing to trade up for Tevin Jenkins, that might indicate that Tom Herman doesn't feel as confident, because Tom Herman has as good of an understanding as just about anyone in the NFL about what Sam Cosmi brings to the table. Because Tom Herman was the Bears offensive analyst was Sam Cosmi's Texas head coach. So they have that insight. We don't know exactly what the team is thinking. We know the rest of the league is thinking, okay, a bunch of talented offensive tackles, let's take them now. So, and it remains to be seen, because we still have a couple picks until 52, which is where the Bears would have originally picked. But there is a run on offensive tackles, and the Bears got their guy. They don't have to sweat it. Their destiny is in their own hands. And honestly, if I'm a general manager, I'd much rather fail on my own control than fail because of something that was completely out of my control.
You sound like Ryan Pace.
Exactly. And yeah.
The other one we have to consider, guys, is it's not over, right? So right now, they don't have any picks. Between their pick for Jenkins and you're not picking until the 150s. It's possible they move Hicks. It's possible they move Miller. It's possible that Foles gets packaged and brings another, you know, conditional sixth or something. And they could package those up and get up to maybe where they are in the 150s and have two picks in the 150s. It's not over in terms of picks. So we'll have to look at the whole haul when it's done, as of right now, which is, like Robert said, we're making the snap reaction. you know, we feel the way we feel about it. The Bears got a tremendous player, and, you know, Pace could go out, wheel and deal, grab a few more picks, and this could look very different.
I feel like, EJ, to your point, if there's one thing that I need to put on the airwaves, it's that all four guys in this room, I think, Jacob made it very clear, Tevin Jenkins is a really good player. And at 39, it feels like, I'll use the word, insane value. Now, you have to remember, it's not quote-unquote 39. It's 52 and 83 and 204 for 39 and 151. That's how trades work. But even so, I just have to say that, like, for any Bears fans out there, we are not trying to just be upset with Tevin Jenkins. I think Tevin Jenkins is awesome, and a lot of draft analysts are saying the same thing, I think, for good reason. The question is, given what the Bears had, because they were already fairly light in the draft wallet, what are they going to do to fill out the rest of their team? What is George McCaskey's vision for this team? How does he want this to work? Is it going to come down to wins and losses? That's not a conversation for a post-draft podcast, but Jenkins himself, very excited. He gets to move Jermaine Ifedi to the proper position of swing tackle and OL6, where I think he belongs and becomes a really nice value there instead of a kind of meager starting right tackle. So the Bears have a lot going for them here, and I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I guess my final thought is, it's not necessarily the Jenkins trade in a vacuum. It's everything, because this is a consistent behavior. This isn't, like I said, the Fields thing doesn't matter. He lucked into that, as EJ was saying pre-show to us. But when you're consistently going up to get Anthony Miller, to get Montgomery, to get Travis Gibson last year, along with they went up again to get they met up twice last year, right? So when you keep sacrificing these picks, you start to look at the lack of young talent, and that's the part that's bugging me. I can appreciate you going to get your guy. There's something to be said about never, ever letting your guy escape you, because I think he lost Leonard Williams that first year and swore to himself he's never going to let that happen again. And he's taken that to an extent where he's emptying his cupboard. And he's never having enough picks. And it's maddening in a sense for a guy that's really shown to be a pretty well above average drafter of young kids. It just, it blows my mind that no one sat him down and explained to him the value of multiple bites at the apple.
If I can play devil's advocate here to that, Danny, keep in mind Ryan Pace's situation right now, where he's very much on the hot seat. You have to win now. And yes, this is an aging roster, and long-term, the smarter move is definitely to acquire picks. But at the same time, Ryan Pace just addresses two biggest needs on his roster with very talented players who were more than worth the value at which they were picked. So
I guess my counter to you is, he created his own hole. He dug this own grave.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm not defending Ryan Pace's moves in the past by any means. Yeah. So he absolutely did dig himself into a grave. Now it's just a matter of if he can get out of it. And in the long term, yes, there are going to be needs. Who knows what they're going to do at the slot receiver position? Who knows exactly what they're going to do at corner, if they're going to stick truly with Desmond Trufant? And defensive line's going to be in need this time next year, because they're not going to be able to keep both Akeem Hicks and Bilal Nichols. But Ryan Pace doesn't have the same mentality that we do. So that's just my opinion. I absolutely, in normal circumstances, do agree with that philosophy of wanting to, you know, not bare the cupboard to an extent, but I feel very confident that these two picks will provide at the very least short-term quality play, and then be great long-term. Sure, there are going to be other holes that they can fix down the line, but Ryan Pace has proven that he's willing to defer year back, keep moving future capital, and then deal with it later. And then he digs himself out of that hole more often than not. So that's a risky way to be a general manager, but we're just going to have to wait and see. Regardless, though, I'm a really big fan of just the pure player perspective that the Bears got in Tevin Jenkins.
Let's be honest, Jacob. Ryan Pace and playing with fire have been hand in hand since he got to Chicago. This is not new for any of us Bears fans. And I really agree with you. I mean, look, the nice thing is, and this is what I have to tell myself sometimes, and EJ, Danny, I'm sure you guys know what I'm about to talk about. We have this tendency to go, okay, so the Bears will get this guy in the first round and he's going to be great. And then they're going to get this guy in the second round and he's going to be good. But they need that third rounder because he's also going to be good. And we can kind of tend to assume that the first three picks are definitely going to matter. The fourth pick is going to play well. And at this point, If we're coming away with Justin Fields, Tevin Jenkins, and some lottery picks, I feel pretty good about the Justin Fields, Tevin Jenkins part. I mean, those are especially given that this is a guy that was widely mocked in the 20s, like 39, great value for him. The question that I have for y'all going forward, because I think we know how we feel, is when you look at the rest of the Bears picks, which I believe we have 151 and then some sixth rounders and some seventh rounders, what do you guys think the Bears could find? And if we were going to look for a slot receiver, because let's remember, Darnell Mooney was a fifth rounder once upon a time, who do you guys think may just make it down there that becomes yet another potential steal for the Bears?
It's hard think of off the top of my head, because every year there's that one wide receiver who I swear is going third round, and he always just falls off the face of the earth. I'm not sure if that says something about me, but you know, I mean, a guy I could theoretically see doing that is, I mean, I know he would hit close to home, and I know Jacob loves him, but that's Josh Imatorabebe. You know, that's just a name. Who I think he had, what, Jacob, you said a 46 inch vert at his pro day.
Yeah, 46 and a half inch vert, which is the record at in terms of the vertical jump. Not official because it's technically not at the combine, but if it was at the combine, that would be the combine record.
All right.
Yeah, there's a lot of players, and the variance over the wide receiver board, especially how teams value them, is going to continue to splay out as we go down through the draft. There are guys, like Danny said, that we might think, oh, that guy's a lock third rounder, and he's going to be there in the fifth or sixth this year. That would give the Bears a shot at him. I think Cade Johnson's going to go a lot earlier, South Dakota State. He's just too fast, plus he has special teams value, great route runner, showed out at the Senior Bowl.
I think Paul is going to go a lot earlier than I think, too.
Trayvon Grimes could be there from Florida. Huge guy, sort of Darden. Underrated. What's that?
Darden?
Darden. I think Jalen Darden's great, and I think he may go, but again, he could be there. If he does, again, he brings special teams pizzazz. He is electric with the ball in his hands. He's not huge, but he doesn't have to be because you have other guys in the offense. Shai Smith from South Carolina, really good possession receiver. They could play out of the slot.
I would love Tamorian Terry to fall.
Oh, Tamorian Terry would be so much fun. Florida State, 6'3", probably big frame. He's great special teams gunner.
Yeah, I mean, and probably the reason I love him is the same thing you talked about on Bears Over Beers, EJ. The second I turned him on, I'm like, it's Cordarrelle. Him all over again.
It's Cordarrelle, except he's a way better receiver downfield and can climb over defensive backs on the nine route and snare it, which is pretty cool. Frank Darby from Arizona State was the other guy across from Brandon Ayuk in 2019, and he had some sneaky good tape, and he's a guy that is going to be available late.
The other name for the sixth round, if you're talking real deep cuts, I really like the kid from Hawaii, Rico Bussey. I really like him.
I am a Rico Bussey.
That is a dude I really enjoy. But he might go undrafted, and you might just be able to snag him. That's a really loaded question to answer your question. To answer your initial thought, Robert.
I'm sure it is, but at this point, sitting here with Justin Fields, Tevin Jenkins in the back pocket, and a doggone long wait until the Bears' next pick, you know, unless Ryan Pace pulls something out of the future cupboard, just like we saw with the Anthony Miller deal. I mean, isn't it kind of funny that we're sitting here and the dark horse slot receiver for next year could be Anthony Miller, the guy already on the team? And it's like, well, normally that would be the layup, but obviously trade concerns have pushed us in a different direction. I'm just curious to see where the Bears go from here. This is not a direction I expected them to go, not just the Fields part, but also trading up for an offensive tackle. I can't fault either player. And yes, sometimes it just takes two guys to transform an offense that still has Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, Tariq Cohen, David Montgomery, and perfectly other good players on it that I could keep listing, but it would get kind of annoying. So at this point, is it enough? I don't know. Maybe. kind of depends on how Mustafer ends up growing up like they would have anticipated, but that's neither here nor there. If you guys were going to give final thoughts on the pick and the trade, how you feeling?
Love the player. Not necessarily wild about the process, but I'm not going to throw it under the bus either. You know, the bottom line is he's going to come in. He's going to solidify a spot that needed somebody to come in and solidify it. He potentially could play at a very high level for a lot of years, and he would be a Chicago – well, I think will be a Chicago fan favorite.
My draft crush just went sad.
Because of the Rondale, way he plays. Rondale, he wasn't
Rondale.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Rondale.
That's okay. Does it make you feel better he didn't get to 52?
Yes.
Theoretically, yes.
In theory, and he went to a team. I think, oh, Kyler's fun, so that's going to be just a lot of fun over there with Nuke and. But this is a bear show. Damn it, stay on track. But my final thoughts, similar to EJ, I'm a little more down on it than I guess I should be because I do love Tevin Jenkins the player, and I want that to be completely known. It's just kind of hard when you're conflicted with the process because it's literally what he does every year. Now, I hope maybe I'm surprised and maybe they do move a player or two and get themselves another pick. Maybe they package Miller with 152 or a sixth round pick and they're able to somehow get a fourth out of it. That's the hope, right? So this is all in real time. This is how I'm feeling at this exact moment, but I'm sure I'll come to terms with the process because I love the player more than I hate the process. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, and I'm, like I said earlier, I'm definitely in the minority of being willing to make this aggressive of a move to trade up for Tevin Jenkins, but it definitely is going to be interesting what Ryan Pace is going to do here with the rest of this draft because you're not picking for the rest of the evening. So you're waiting until tomorrow. You're going to see, okay, can we move up into the fourth round? Can we package Anthony Miller? Can we package maybe someone else? I mean, I really don't know how many players truly have significant trade value at this point that they could afford to part with.
I mean, just a question, could James Daniels be involved? You know, they gave a fading $5 million and Sam Mustafer played well.
Could be caught, but I don't know. It all depends on how they think he'd transition to right guard.
Because guys, I got a jet. I got to go. I'm sorry.
No worries. Good talking to you, Danny. Great talking to the rest of y'all. Honestly, we could just go ahead and use this as a wrap-up point. I'm excited to see Jenkins on the Chicago Bears. I think this is one of those that we could wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? Justin Fields and Tevin Jenkins are Chicago Bears, and that's good enough for me. But in this moment, of course, I think especially for you guys, and I mean, come on, I was excited about it too. It sucks to lose pick number 83, but I will find a way to get with the program because the Bears now have a standout right tackle and a quarterback that I really believe in. So we're in as good a spot as we could ask to be. I think that the Bears for once, I mean, the Bears look like they could be draft analysis darlings for those of you who care about that sort of thing. And that's an unusual place because I'm very, very, very accustomed to getting, you know, C minuses on Chicago Bears drafts when I look around the league. So this is fun. It's nice to be on the winning side of things. We'll see what it does for the next season here in 2021. But for now, the Chicago Bears have a brand new quarterback. They've got a starting right tackle, and there's a whole lot of reasons to hope. Guys, thanks so much for joining. And I have no idea whether I'll see you guys again tonight, but you know, maybe, maybe not. It all comes down to Ryan Pace.